Guilt in a Teacup. The first lick of green tea ice cream is one of the most wondrous, sensual pleasures in the world. The first sip of hot green tea can be the promise of a meal. But the last sip of tepid green tea from the dregs of an empty pot is almost chewy. It leaves a bad aftertaste, and yet you still drink it. I don't. I still drink it. I'm drinking it sitting opposite Annie, the tattooed barista at Cafe Artigiano, who has served me dark roasts with room for cream for 6 months, is staring at me as though I've never been in a coffee shop before, as I struggle with the list of choices. Green tea cafe latte, he suggests, finally. I curl my lip in disdain. Ugh. Well, this is what we have, he says, exasperated. Coffee in all its permutations, black tea, green tea, decaf versions of all that, assorted juices and waters. Pellegrino? And all the while he's thinking, why don't you just order coffee the way you do every other day? Because I choose to make myself suffer, I want to shout at him. Instead, just a green tea then. Thanks. He offers me choices. I offer him a look of hate. Silently, he rings through my purchase, gives me a pot of hot water with a smattering of leaves in it. Green tea? Annie says. Green tea? You don't usually drink green tea. Of course, Annie knows what I drink, when I'm with her, better than I do. When Brian and I visit her and Brian's brother, which is both rarely and too often, she pours me a cup of scalding hot stinky tea. Earl Grey, she says, your favorite. Isn't the smell of bergamot just incredible? Earl Grey, I repeat. Is that what I drink when I'm with her? I don't notice. I don't like it. I don't like tea. I don't know what bergamot is. Thank you, I remember to say. But ungratefully, and without real appreciation for the gesture, because, well, what I really drink is coffee. But I don't drink it with her. I only drink it with people I love. I'm flattered. Shut up. I wanted to talk to you about Sasha, Annie says. I nod. I know this. I also know she knows the only way to get me to meet her is to make the topic of the meeting Sasha. When she says, let's catch up, I'm too busy. When she says, there's a new restaurant I want to try, I say, I hope you enjoy it. When she explicitly texts, come with me, I counter, I'm on a cleanse. When she outright asks me to do something with her, I just say no. I realize she hasn't done that in a long time, not since the book club fiasco, and that was for Sasha anyway.
How long ago was that? A year? Maybe more.
No other overtures since then, bar the mistexted photo. Perhaps she's learned. Stupidly, that thought makes me sad. You know what makes me sad? That while pretending you're telling me about your sister-in-law, you're going to be talking about your goddamn stepdaughter again. Tell me you at least bring up those mistexted pink panties with her. Of course I don't. Does she? No. We don't talk about anything else. Ever. We only talk about Sasha. Once she says, I'd like to talk to you about Alexandra. And I snap. You never get to talk to me about Alexandra. But Sasha? I will talk to her about Sasha. Because Sasha talks to her. Because Annie loves her. Because I feel such guilt. I love you racked with guilt. Guilty women are easier to control. Fuck off. That's the game you and I are playing. Do you not know that? I am looking for the key, and you are trying not to give it to me. But you want to play, and so you keep on talking. And so eventually, you will. I won't. We'll see. Talking about Sasha these days always mostly involves Annie strategizing how to present to Zia whatever new thing Sasha's done or wants to do. Annie has, possibly, already tried to talk her out of it and failed. She has now talked herself into a place of unconditional support for the latest piercing, tattoo, boyfriend, girlfriend, life plan. How are we going to make Zia support this? We're not. It doesn't really matter what it is. She'll freak. Rant. Come into my house.
Which used to be her house. She'll remind me of this immediately, relentlessly, and disrupt supper.
Better yet, at night, and wake up Brian, me, scare Alexandra. At some point, make it clear that Sasha's sexual proclivities, eyebrow piercing, desire to go on a woofing trip to Europe, volunteer in the Sudan, are all fruit of her dysfunctional family experience, Brian and Zia's divorce, and so, my fault in their entirety. I will, at some point, leave the study and lock myself in the bedroom. I won't open the door to Brian when he finally gets her to leave and comes upstairs. When I find him sleeping on the couch in the morning, I won't feel compassion, only resentment. And so it goes. And Sasha will still be pierced, tattooed, gay, thinking about dropping out of school, taking welding instead of a BCom, dating a stripper. Don't call her a stripper. She's a sex worker. Right. I never dated a stripper. Or a sex worker of any kind, actually. My horror fantasies notwithstanding. I like your stepdaughter, you know. Don't fucking go there. I'm not. I like what she does with her angst. It's healthier than what you do with yours. But then, she has help. You're helping her direct it. What? I am not. So fucking unaware. Or a liar. In either case, I love it. Come here and pretend you're unaware of my hand spreading you like this. Not while I'm talking about Sasha. I suppose not. All these parenting minefields I'm not aware of. Then lie face down so you don't see me, and I will take a page from Brian's book and give the mother of his children a massage. I'm not. You are. Keep on telling the story, and you'll find out.
I stare into my cup of tepid green tea.
Wish it were coffee, and try to listen to Annie. Sasha. Couple. Dating. Serious. So serious. Not, Annie says, an occasional ménage à trois. Her French accent is atrocious. But she's dating them both. Actually, she's moving in with them. And they're into BDSM, the language they use. He's Sir, and she's Kitten, and Sasha's their pet. I tune out until she says, "What should we do?" "Nothing," I reply promptly. "This, at least, I know." "I don't mean," Annie flutters her hands, "I don't mean about it. I know. I mean, I know it's odd. And she's 20, and yes, that's very young to be moving in with someone. And dating a couple and all that is a little odd. Yeah, but she seems so very in love." And she talks on, circling around her lack of comfort with the nature of the couple's kink. But also, I realize, a little excited about it all, which is fucking weird and awkward, and I don't want to hear it. So I interrupt her. She's almost 20. She'll do whatever she wants. my chorus for the past 2 years, past decade. Of course, Annie agrees quickly, fully on Sasha's side, anxious to show she knows more than I do, is more connected to the situation, to Sasha, than I can possibly be. She met them in May, when she started working maintenance at the Stampede Grounds. You remember? I remember. The source of another parental conference shouting match from hell. Zia convinced Sasha was taking the janitorial job purely to spite her, and possibly right about it, at that. I know they haven't known each other for very long, but Sasha has such good judgment, Annie says, and I snort tea up and out my nose. Cough. I'm sure they're nice people, I tell Annie. And actually, as I clear the tea from my sinuses, I decide it's probably true. For all her rebellion, Sasha has been quite particular about her people. They've been, of course, pierced, tattooed, frequently unemployed, occasionally, but not that often, stoned, but nice. Jean, Chuck, all the in-betweens and the ones who followed. Weird, but good eggs. At least, harmless. You know, I was a little concerned at first, Annie says. And I'm surprised. She is usually Sasha's unconditional advocate. No questions asked. No critical judgment used.
If such judgment exists,
there is never an admission made, to me, that Sasha's choice, path, could be wrong, dangerous, even questionable. What sort of people date as a couple? Or call their lovers pets? It's... She's flushed. I'm amused. People have all sorts of kinks, I say. They do, my lover. Tell me about some of yours. Do you not prefer just discovering them as you go? Sometimes. Sometimes I like revelations. And you know I like to be shocked. Would you enjoy having another woman in bed with us? Tied, perhaps, to that chair, watching, waiting? Not particularly. My exhibitionism is very particular, and I am not a voyeur, and my sexuality is not particularly fluid. In other words, you like boys. I like men. Then I'm so glad I am one. The rest of our conversation follows a well-trod path. We remind and reassure each other, or rather, Annie reminds and reassures me, and I nod, that what's important is Sasha's safety and security, that we need to keep her talking to us. To Annie, we both know she doesn't talk to me, no matter what. Blah, blah, blah. Shoot me now. Because what it all means is another fucking conference around the study table, at which Annie will be supportive and loving, Brian helpless and ineffectual, and me, present, unnecessary, resented. We, Brian and Annie mostly, listen to Zia rant about how I ruined her life and am ruining her daughter's. Everything will be my fault. My current meeting with Annie is as pointless as the future parental conference about Sasha's planned living arrangements will be. The tea in my cup is cold and disgusting. I drink it and grimace. Telling. I told you metaphors betray as much, more than straight-out confessions. What happens next? The entirely expected.